Howdy! Welcome to the Three True Outcomes Score Sheet Baseball Podcast, presented by Baseball Prospectus. I'm your host, Ian Lefkowitz, and joining me, as always, from pure Michigan, it is our personal cheese ball, Ben Murphy. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm great, how are you?
I'm doing well, and very excited to hear your voice. Wow. And joining us, as always, from our nation's capital, it's that Joker, Jared Weiss. Jared, how are you doing?
Great. Happy to be back.
Oh, what a delight. We've all been trapped under something heavy. So thanks for thinking of us. We made it out okay.
And not helping us.
Yeah, I know. Shows where you were, huh? what have we been up to? We've been busy. We've been talking to each other. Just not with you, guys.
Yeah, but we still like you.
Most of you. You know what you did.
What if we had pretended like we hadn't been gone at all? Like it was just like the next week?
I think that would have been funnier.
Well, we could always start from the top again.
No, we really can't.
Pretty good. So we had about the same amount of audio issues as ever. We are going to be trying something new for our special blowout 100th episode called post-production.
Hey now.
We'll see what that does for us.
I've done some editing over the years.
Yeah. That's done. True. More than a fair share.
I don't know that it was quality enough that you could call it post production, but it was definitely not during the recording production.
So, by definition.
I guess.
But now we have a button that says Ben. So, we are delighted to be back for the 100th episode. And I see we're really, again, keeping that same commitment to quality that we've really promised over the first 99.
Wait, Ian, say welcome to the 100th episode again.
Welcome to the 100th episode. So we're basically 10 episodes away from just being a morning zoo podcast.
That'd be better than my current job.
Yeah. So we're all delighted to be here, and what will we be talking about this episode? Great question. I guess first, our reason for existence, which we're kind of in the middle of talking about. We're also going to talk a little bit about the playoffs, score sheet playoffs, baseball playoffs, our self-centered playoff run, things we can learn, and some things we can learn for next year. And then we will send you on our merry way. Before we do that, we'd love to hear from you. And let us know that you are also still alive and not trapped under something. I'm sorry we did not rescue you. But you can always email us at scoresheet@baseballprospectus.com with any questions that you have. We have still been answering questions, oddly enough.
Some of them.
Yeah. Maybe not as assiduously as we have in the past. but I think we should start off by answering the most important question, the elephant in the room. Why now? Ben, you want to take this one?
I don't know. Do I? What? You want me to tell everybody that my wife is pregnant? Is that what you're getting at? Oh, my wife's pregnant. Oh,
not really, but hey, spoiler.
Thanks. I like to joke that I did all the hard work.
Congratulations.
I guess because it's the end of the baseball season and we were actually good at score sheet this year.
That's gonna get. I think we wanted to check in. We wanted to get to a nice round number, right? And just kind of gauge our interest and your interest in ever doing this again. to be candid. As Ben has pointed out, our lives have been busy this year and are about to get busy for one of us next year. So, you know.
Which one?
Jared, you.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations. I hear curling is about to get off the hook.
Dude, it's Olympic season. You don't understand what happens when the Olympics happen. It gets nuts.
Jared is in a curling league, which is pretty much the having a baby of club sports. So we are like, will we ever have another episode? We do not know, but we will have this episode and we will celebrate in the moment and live for today, like the cast of Rent.
Okay.
So,
I guess there are worse casts we could be.
Yeah, no, that's the point of Rent. It's about how you should live for today and damn the man, and only artists are great, and having responsibility and being an adult sucks. So, also they're singing. Okay, anyway, mailbag captain.
Yeah,
Are there any relevant things in the mailbox for this?
No, not really.
Yeah. Okay. Is it because we took 6 months off without telling anyone?
I don't see why that would have anything to do with it.
That's probably it. Do you want there to be stuff in the mailbox?
I do. I'm lonely here.
Yeah, okay. So, again, email us, scoresheet@baseballperspectives.com. We'll be happy to answer your questions. So... what have we been up to scoresheet-wise since we last left off?
So much.
So, for instance, we have had a great season, which I guess proves the point that really benign neglect is the key to winning your scoresheet league.
Maybe, or after years of listening to ourselves talk, we finally built up enough knowledge to... create a good scoresheet team.
Yes. Yeah. After years of being shut out while proclaiming ourselves scoresheet experts.
We never said that. I'm pretty sure we never said that.
While being proclaimed scoresheet experts by people who really should have known better. we shut up for a little bit. Didn't really concentrate any harder on our teams than usual. We didn't really focus that energy towards teamwork, and we won all over the place, right?
Ooh, we had a great year.
Yeah, we had two championships, three pennants, five playoff finishes, and we were in the Kings League. So I think we had a really
draft.
It's our best year since we've been in scoresheet.
Draft the.
Do we have any takeaways as to why?
Before they get explosive, a bunch of people on the Astros and
people on the Yankees. I think that's it. Yeah, our AL teams, we pretty much drafted the Astros and Yankees, and it turns out, good strategy for 2017. but we did win an NL League as well. We won the Joe Sheehan's Invitational League, which is a 1-year league. And again, I think that was pretty solid drafting. It's interesting to participate in a 1-year league. This is our second time doing it. I think we've learned a lot about how to participate in a 1-year league. There's a lot that is affected by the draft and by luck. So I don't think we necessarily would win if we played over and over again. But I think some of the things that have helped us doing that, especially, I think that was our last league that we drafted, having a really good sense of the way the draft is going to fall. For instance, we got, what is it, Josh Bell pretty late in that draft because, you know, that we tend to wait for first basemen. We jumped at outfielders and then took a bunch of kind of disappointing guys in Christian Yelich and AJ Pollock, as well as Yasiel Puig, who is just a delight. Who are all these people who have hated Yasiel Puig? We'll get to that in the real playoff section, but goodness. And then, yeah, I think having some experience in, like, understanding when to draft up the middle, when to go for your starting pitchers, and then how to fill out the rest of your roster, it can really give you an advantage structurally in a draft that is, puts you ahead of the curve.
Also done the
even in a league,
draft.
You know, that I think that was the only NL draft.
Having
that
a certain familiarity
in,
with
but
the
because we were
depths
kind of
the rosters in the major leagues helps you when
helped
you're
out quite a bit.
Drafting any team that's that deep. And I think having done other drafts that went a little deeper also made it a little bit easier to know, like you said, having the relative context of which players would be available probably makes a difference, but also just knowing a little bit more about who's going to have which roles on the major league rosters and stuff like that helps.
Yeah,
and that's amplified a lot.
Also,
it's amplified a lot more in a 1 year league because you can't really trade your way out of a hole. So if you're missing something early on, it's really hard to claw that back.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I learned this year. You know, the 1 year league very tough for trading, which I think we kind of expected. But you know, it's a real challenge to challenge trades, right? You know, you have to kind of develop different expectations for where your team is. What we tried doing at the end of the year is, because we were in very good playoff position, we were trying to trade for, kind of star level talent and giving other teams the depth that they needed, especially, teams that had suffered injury concerns, the depth that they needed to kind of make the playoffs. But our feeling was that that would kind of be where there were some asymmetric goals. But it's really hard to give people even a few just depth players because I think they're rightly concerned that even when they make the playoffs, they'll be drawing dead. Even if you think, well, you know, at least you'll make the playoffs in the first place. But
I think there we had one other league that you sort of made reference to but didn't explicitly mention, the auction league where we made the playoffs and sort of had
else,
a chance on the stretch to compromise some future value in trades to try to bolster our chances for this year. And I think even though, so we didn't end up winning the league, the person that we thought was going to win the league did, which could have been a self-fulfilling prophecy because we didn't really put pedal to the metal to try to bolster our team to make a run at it. And partly, the fit wasn't ideal for the trade possibilities that we had, but it's one of those things that feels uncomfortable in the moment where you're like, knowing that you could push to get better and choosing not to. But I think, A, that's how the person that won that league got to have the team that he has, is because he chose to, like, build for the future. And I think that's also partly how the other teams that we have that did really well were built in short or in long form, by sort of having the diligence to not push real hard in years when you don't have a good enough chance to win to make it worth the trade-offs. And it feels great to win those other leagues, of course, but it also, I think, helps reinforce the other ideas that we had sort of talked about all along around pennants added and championships added and wanting to really prioritize that as the goal. And even in the league that we didn't win, trying to hold up that same that same paradigm letting it guide us in all of the leagues. And I guess, I think when I start on this tangent, I was thinking about like drawing it back to other situations where, you know, you're not in position to win a league, but still being diligent about it. And maybe that point's been made well enough, but I think there's also the, idea that it's okay to not push for it, I guess, is hard for some people. I don't know.
Yeah, I would agree with that. One thing I noticed this year, we can sometimes be pretty hard to trade with, and not just because it's hard to like coordinate all three of us, which is true, but you know, I think some of it is also we tend to be extreme long view teams, an extremely long view team, and it makes it. You know, we tend not to go for the jugular in any of our leagues. Sometimes to our benefit, you know, in one league, I think we passed up the chance to trade for John Lester. And I think in retrospect, that would have been pretty disastrous. We also passed up the chance to draft, to trade for, I think, Chris Sale. And that would have been probably pretty great for us. But you know, they just didn't fit with our timeline. Even though we saw, you know, the end in sight, we didn't really want to pull the trigger for 1 year and shorten our window. I think you can argue perhaps that that's short-sighted and there, not so much glory in like finishing fourth place every year for the next 10, but, you know, I think we felt in our cases that, we had done a lot of the work building the teams, and we felt like they were good enough to be strong contenders for a long time to come.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think there's a right or wrong here a lot of the time. Like if someone takes a lot more short-sighted view and says, I'm going to win this year and I'll figure out next year.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't maybe, say enough for
I think we probably tend to believe at the end of, say, so a decade, we'll end up
if with it's more fun for you to play the
that person, but I mean, I don't know if history's proven that to be true necessarily.
Next year, then,
you know, stuff happens over the course of a year. And
you shouldn't do it that way.
It was just more net present value of some of the stuff. I think taking super short-sighted views sometimes might be an interesting way to approach it.
I thought it was strong of us to be internally consistent, I guess, and we didn't talk about that at all when Ian was going through the other leagues. And I think, you know, there's also a team that we were terrible and we probably need to rebuild and we're probably going to have to figure out how to go about that. Well. Yeah. Yeah, the longer the view on the strategy, the longer it takes to figure out the distinct, right?
I think that's a great point, is that once you've figured out what the strategy is, committing to that, even at times where it's tempting to drift away. So, no, I think it's a great point.
Yeah, unless you're running a bad strategy, in which case you'll figure out a decade from now. Trust the process. All right, anything else suck on our teams, or should we? Geez, we don't have much of an itinerary. Jared, do you want to rant about U.S. soccer for a minute?
No, this isn't the time or place. It's, oh my God, no. I'm still shocked. You don't want to talk about NorCal? I know that's like your favorite team ever.
Okay, yeah, NorCal's our favorite team ever. And thank you to everyone in the league for being incredibly talented to make it, like, feel like a bigger deal. And also for letting us in an expansion draft, so that we could take all of your players and beat you with them. But yeah, you know, there's nothing more arrogant than talking about your team, but it, you know, we have the podcast, so what you gonna do? What we liked about this team in particular, just, it's the best offense that we've ever built. And I think kind of like the sum total of all of the advice that we have ever given, which is our first baseman, we're trash, and everything else was amazing. And every player was about 27 to 29. Our catcher is Gary Sanchez, who we got in a trade for Brian McCann, which is filled with regret. Our first baseman, were Adrian Gonzalez and Albert Pujols, who I Aww. Think was probably good. Greg Bird, who looks great now. We'll probably have to keep him. Can't tell yet. And then we eventually traded for Trey Mancini to actually give us some length there. But I think we just played a bunch of people at first and ignored it. Our second baseman was Jose Altuve. Our third baseman was Evan Longoria, who is more of a totem than anything else at this point for us. Our shortstop, Carlos Correa. And our outfield, we drafted, well, we had JD Martinez from the expansion draft, I believe, which really paid off for us. And we have, we've been long been JD Martinez boosters, and him hitting like 20 home runs in September were great. But we also, in the expansion draft, took and held on to a kid named Aaron Judge, and held on to him through him hitting 190 last year and did not trade him, and drafted him in the mock draft and feel very comfortable with the results of that, which we were obviously sure. predicting. I think we said that, right, in the mock draft.
Yeah, we can go back and look. It's there.
I'm pretty sure he's, like, yeah. Aaron Judge is going to hit 50 home runs this year. Yeah. Bank on it, I think, was the text. And then we drafted Mitch Haniger in the first round, who turned out to be pretty great, too. It's the best offense we've ever had in score sheet, and I feel like it's going to compete for a while. We supplemented it with a good enough pitching. You know, we have Justin Verlander, who really came on at the end of the year.
You guys remember being in Wasserman back before we started running teams together?
Just a real treat of a team. It's so rare that we...
I think this NorCal team is the best offense.
That you have a team where you just look at it and you go, oh, this feels great.
Albert Pujols heyday. You know, like, I lucked into Evan Longoria back before he was...
It's what I must imagine that Joe Maddon feels like sometimes. Probably not this week.
Joe Maurer.
But...
it's so much fun.
You just look at the lineup, like, and you go
9-6 or something.
I don't know. Let's play with it this week today.
You know, 2-1 or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chicks dig the long ball.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, and it kind of helps us transition into, I think, what I wanted to talk about next, which is some of the ways that score sheet is going. You know, I think we've talked about this some, but. You know, I've been thinking a little bit about some of the things to think about for 2018, going forward, what score sheet is going to look like. Because, you know, this was a game where the rules were set kind of in a certain run environment, with certain expectations. And the game has been, frankly, probably changing a little faster than the simulation. So, you know, what are the implications of that? So, you know, thinking about it, like, okay, so some of these are long-term trends accelerating, but as starting pitching innings come down even further, and it looks like it's been accelerating in this playoffs. What does that mean for score sheet? Does it mean you get a bullpen of doom or a bullpen of mediocrity? Does it mean you need to draft, you know, 9 or 10 relievers in a 35-round score sheet draft initially? You know, I felt like we had a pitching shortage in every league we were in. But I don't know if that's, you know, some of that was kind of decisions that we made. But, you know, also 7 relievers may, or 7 starters may not be enough to get you through a season anymore, or to get you through middle innings. But maybe you just say, okay, well, we're going to sacrifice a couple games and stick to our strategy. And you know that we're moving into a league where basically the supplemental draft is relievers and pop-up prospects and like the occasional player who is who gets a starting job from an injury. Like, you don't have, except in very shallow 10-team leagues, you don't really have depth in lineups anymore, right? Or in position players anymore. And it's something you're going to have to trade for. You know, and I think that has some implications. Does that mean that you want to jump and grab starters a little earlier? Does it mean that getting, you know, major league rostered players is more important? And then, you know, I think it's hard to talk about 2017 without talking about the way in which the game has changed. Obviously, score sheet, what I mean is that score sheet games are much longer than they used to be. It now takes about 20 minutes to get through a score it. Yeah, it's really upsetting when, like, you see your score sheet pitcher step off the mound and have to go through signs. Like, it's incredibly lifelike.
That'd be hilarious.
But I don't know. The playoffs have been pretty brutal. I gotta be honest. Like, this is, you know, I am a person who watches baseball a lot and watches baseball on full speed. And my word, there have been times where I've been sitting there and going, this is not an exciting sport.
Yeah, it's been brutal.
And that's me. I am like, sitting like next to 1,000 baseball scorecards.
I agree. Something has to change.
Yeah, but I think for the purpose of this, and we'll talk about playoffs more in a second. For the purpose of this, the obvious thing is that you know, the launch angle happened. Everyone is hitting home runs. The world has changed, and we don't know who's good anymore. So that was fun. Remember every year in mock draft we were complaining about Elvis Andrews having, you know, not having enough power to actually be a worthwhile player? Well, good news, he hits 20 home runs this year. Because everyone hits 20 home runs this year. We were playing a game offline with Ben, like, do you know who this player is?
Do you think that means that Profar had a good year too?
Like, who is
Paul DeYoung? Hit like a whole bunch of home runs, right?
Well, I don't know, but he hit 25 home runs this year.
It's like everybody was hitting home runs, so like he must have.
Scott Schebler hit 30. He's on one of our teams, and we did not know who he was. but you know, I think.
Wait,
the interesting thing is that it's not just
there's only one.
It's not just that everybody's hitting for more power, because if that's the case, then you can just adjust for it, and it doesn't really change the character.
No, but in all seriousness, Ian, I think
that you know, everybody is hitting for about the same amount of power.
I think the point that you're making about like the way that the simulation
a lot of players who you would not
in the
expect
way, like,
to spike
up sheets work and
like home runs,
the fact that like
power
the
spikes
playing time, especially for pitching, has shifted so much.
Kind of fundamentally changed.
Do you think that that means that the game will break at some point if things continue trending the way that they're trending? Or do you think like the developers need to make some kind of significant alterations?
Probably,
or it's just going to change like strategically how we see optimal strategies working out?
I haven't checked, but I'm pretty sure it's true. But it is that kind of player. So like the players who make a lot of
it's contact, already broken.
I think the game is broken. Is that that's the darker approach, right? Yeah, I mean, I think it's
Hashtag juice.
I think it has become more challenging
to
improve in season. And I guess that has some benefits. But I think it's just a little worse overall.
Yeah,
I don't know what the solution is. Because there are just fundamentally fewer offensive players in the league right now. And having options on offense is kind of what makes the management part of score sheet fun. I don't think that can be fixed. In terms of, you know, the home run spike, it kind of that's kind of exciting because, you know.
I was sitting here worried that
it's
the
really hard to anticipate what
to
will happen because this could be like an awakening situation where it just goes away next year because it's not something intrinsic to the players.
Do you think they're more likely to change
or it's not
the
something
sim
that's only
to help
to the
account for
I
some of these differences
of
in the run environment and the way the game is played
also,
before or after they take
yeah, it's
Ian's
also a silly
face
ball.
With a video
and that can
off
go
of
away
every league website
next year.
In the whole system. I almost made it through the whole
thing.
Well,
I mean, that's an interesting question
because
baseball goes through these, you know, phases of different high scoring and low scoring environments, and no one really knows when it's going to start and stop. So, from an MLB perspective, I think it's interesting to try to guess what's going to happen next year. And from a simulation perspective, it's even tougher because you don't want to overreact based on this 1 year and then see the game next year be totally different.
Right.
Let me calm your fears. I do not think that's going to happen.
On the times when Ian was really busy with grad school and Jared and I missed him, we would just play the video of him on the little YouTube embedded video thing on the score sheet page. which do you think we'll get to 200 episodes before they take it down?
I may have
neither will
we may have pointed out to each other that my video has been on every league site for the past 2 years. On the one hand, it's an honor just to be nominated. But it's not my favorite thing. So, I... yeah. No, that's fine.
Yeah, or overvalue it.
That might be a draw. No, but I think the question of like where the simulation goes is a good one, or like what happens to the simulation if it remains static and baseball continues changing in this direction. It's an interesting question. I don't think the actual like gameplay is fundamentally broken yet, or at least it reflects real baseball, and you can argue whether real baseball is fundamentally broken or not. But I think it makes drafting a challenge that maybe a pleasant one. I think we have always cautioned against certainty for, veteran players that people tend to, I think, maybe not underrate the certainty of prospects, but kind of overrate the certainty of veterans by comparison.
I know one of our
But,
subscribers to
I
Yoshi
think
Hamlin
there
veteran,
is
and
a
he's
real
talking about
nobody.
this also.
Yeah. But I think
One of the
this
things that
season we've seen a
he
real
said in the
nobody knows
newsletter that
anything
really
kind of
resonated for
approach,
me was
where,
is the
if you
idea that
drafted Zach
it would
Hozar,
almost be better if,
great.
like,
Did you see that
someone
coming?
in the commissioner's office or something was
I don't know.
actually
I
in
don't
on
think
it,
Zach
so they
Hozar
actually
saw that
knew,
coming.
because that would mean they have some, like, modicum of control
Will it
around
happen
it.
again? I
But
don't know. It's
the
like a
idea that
different
they
it's a
don't
different world. I think
means that
it's
they're,
hard
like,
to
really
account
at the
for.
whimsy of
And
something
it's
else.
hard to know how
And I
sticky
think
this
that's
is
the
for
part
a lot
that
of players who have
I
made this
think maybe
transition.
contributes to the uncertainty, or
Justin
at least,
Turner
like,
and JD
really
Martinez. This has been
turns it
sticky.
from
Are we going to
sort
see
of
this
neutral
now
uncertainty
EY
to
as kind of
some more negative
stick
or
to
scary sort
players,
of uncertainty
or
where, the game
will
is definitely
we
trending
continue to feel
towards
like, oh, this was a
strikeouts and
fluke out
homers
here?
and longer games with longer counts
I
and
think
more
this
pitching
is
changes
as
and fewer
uncertain
pitches
as I have
thrown per
ever
pitcher per
felt
game.
about just
And,
the quality of
aside from all the
typical
launch angle
projection, to
stuff
be honest.
and the home run rates for hashtag juice balls question mark, I think there's even more going on in the nature of the game and the way that things are trending, that if it really is the case that nobody's got a sense for how it's going, it makes me wonder how much longer baseball will occupy any sort of notions of being the national pastime, because I think it's trending away from the things that people tend to like about it. And unless you want like a very watered down version of the Home Run Derby that's going to take 5 times as long and have 1/10 of the homers, I don't know why the kids growing up are going to be paying attention to baseball in 10 years or 15 years. And obviously I'm not the first to say anything like that, but it makes me wonder too, like, is anybody going to notice that the score sheet sim is broken? Because, like, is anybody going to be playing fantasy baseball in, I don't know, 20 years or whatever? That's not true. That's not true. The home run derbies the last couple of years have been so good. Like, the timed home run derbies. Like, this year's home run derby, I felt like was, it's like, A, I actually like watched it all the way through, but B was like pretty compelling. And not just because I beat Jared in a bunch of bets about it, like, it was legitimately entertaining. Oh yeah. It's not especially close, I don't think, right? I don't know. Sound like a true Yankees fan.
Took a dark turn.
Yeah. Just to push,
A
right, just
little
to push back on one point, there is no unit of measurement that is 5 times longer than a home run
magic.
derby. The home run derby is still going. And Chris Berman is still announcing. somewhere. It's true. It's true. The scariest thing about 2017 is that the most exciting thing of this year has been the Home Run Derby. That's 2017 in a nutshell. Yeah. Yeah, that's 2017 in a nutshell. It's like the highlight of the year was
I mean, Aaron Judge in general.
Yes. Do we want to talk about actual baseball for a second and pivot there? How have your playoffs
not
been?
Not great, Bob.
No. Well, when we last left the Orioles, they were in first place.
In my head, they're still in first.
What happened in between?
They did not win a single game after that, I think is what happened. As soon as we stopped potting, they just lost the rest of the season.
No. One would think that that would be enough of a jinx to make us have to record forever, but you have underestimated our laziness.
Yeah, if you didn't have to have a pitching rotation 2 weeks from now, why would you worry too much about
the playoffs,
starting pitchers, rest cadences?
I have been really excited for the playoffs to happen, and then I've been underwhelmed by the playoffs
to
actually happening.
Say their feelings don't matter,
which is an odd feeling.
Trying to win and,
I like the matchups. I feel like the games, like we said, a bit borderline excruciating, with a few exceptions. I think the two-one games have been really exciting. I think the Steven Strasburg game was excellent. The long pitching matchup games have been really great. And maybe that's just a sign of the way that I approach baseball, that.
I don't think so, because it's so fundamentally different from how regular season baseball is. And it sort of seems like we've just accepted that, in the playoffs, it's going to be very different. And obviously, I understand the incentives. It's because you really, really need to win, and it's a short series. But it's so different from what baseball is in the regular season. And I don't know that I'm okay with it.
You're talking about your rooting interest in different games and series.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm not disputing that in a second.
Yeah. I mean, it's the right strategy, right? We all kind of agree. We would probably do that in the regular season too. Yeah.
Can you tell us some of the things that you're talking about?
And their feelings. Yeah. No, I mean, and I would say, the other thing that's been a bummer is we were really close to having two matchups that I was really,
it's certainly the greatest sporting
really
event I've
for.
Ever attended in person.
Cleveland and the Nationals just did not hold up their end of the bargain on those games. I sent this around, but I checked how I am personally doing in deciding games since 2010, because I felt like things hadn't been going well for me. Not that I have any particular interest, but I tend to root for a team, right? Like, I will pick up a team. I try to root for what I think is the more interesting story or the team I like more. And then I looked and I went 3-0 in deciding games in 2015, and outside of that, I have been sure, I could go back through some postseasons. Let's take a look at this. Yankees Cleveland, rooting for Cleveland this year. Cubs Nationals, rooting for the Nationals. I would root for like cancer ahead of the Cubs, obviously. Last year, the Cubs and Cleveland went to a deciding game. How was that? Do you know anyone who went? Yeah, the greatest baseball game of all time. Yeah. Yeah. Los Angeles versus the Nationals. You know, we obviously have some national fans among us, so I was definitely rooting for the Nats there. That wasn't great. The year before, so Kansas City, Toronto, and the Mets all won deciding games that in the division series. That was an amazing fluke. The year before that, the Giants beat the Royals. I was obviously rooting for the Royals. Year before that, Detroit beat Oakland. Obviously rooting for Oakland. Cardinals versus the Pirates. That was a bummer. Yeah. 2012, the Giants beat the Cardinals in the NLCS. I think I chalked that one up as a tie because I probably didn't care. Hard to go back. The ALDS, the New York Yankees defeated the Baltimore Orioles 3-2. I think I had a strong position on that. Tigers beat Oakland. I was rooting for Oakland. Cardinals beat Nationals. I was rooting for the Nationals. Giants beat the Reds. I was rooting for the Reds. You know, like St. Louis beat the Rangers. I was rooting for the Rangers there. It's just been a long time since. Like 2015 was.
I think
great,
most years the best day of the season of us. Jared and I is when the Yankees get eliminated. So I'm hoping that happens sooner rather than later.
You know, but like. It does feel like all of, like, every single deciding game has just bounced the other way from me. And it's been enervating. So I do look forward to the Yankees, Yankees-Cubs World Series.
And then somehow they both inevitably get bound to branded as winning the title. Like, they both win the World Series somehow. It's not that they both lose, they both win.
Yes, and they both announce the second after that they are going to the White House and going to stand for the national anthem.
I'd definitely root for the Cubs.
The moment the game ends, somehow they just all stand there, and it's just incredible.
I didn't spend 4 years of my life in Chicago around Cubs fans, though.
I think that's how 2017 is going for me. The New York Liberal, not great. Hasn't been a great year. Some ups, some downs. I do think the games, I think some of the games,
there have been exciting moments. It's not even a team. I think, in the abstract,
are you looking forward to anything?
Because I don't really
in the next week,
it's hard to say.
We don't know what the teams are yet.
I feel like there's have so much a process that seems like it should bear fruit. And I think basically all the teams left, you could say, do have a process that should bear fruit and should be successful. And so,
I will say this,
as much as that was the way
have
that
put
I
on a good show and,
chosen
I
who
do,
I was rooting for.
I do
last,
like me some Aaron Judge and I do, Gary Sanchez has not had the best playoffs.
This year it's like really more about
playoffs
how does it make me
whenever,
feel listening
but,
to people be happy or sad about it when they win.
You know, I think they're a little fun, and I am getting ready to root for the Yankees over the Cubs. I have mentioned this, I've said that this will happen, and I don't even feel bad about it. They are a fun team. I've never hated them. I don't even feel a little bad about it. this is what we're down to here. Yeah. So this is...
That's fair.
what I like most about this is that it's the team that you spent the most presents
they're
in front
like
of. That's
the
hardest
top,
to root
they're
for.
Not super obnoxious. Maybe going back to like late 90s Braves fans, like outside of the, you know, inheriting the xenophobic or whatever parts of the mascot. Like, I feel like the... yes. Yeah, but that's... that's a lifestyle choice that shows that they're not probably as genuine of fans as you would like, but that doesn't mean they're obnoxious. Like, I don't know.
Well, here's a question you made me think of. Yeah. And we don't have to go into it now, but thought it just for later. Is it possible? Is there? Can
wrong.
You think of a major
I don't
a team
like
with a major fan base?
Place, so it doesn't matter how many
where that fan base or... isn't intolerable. So it doesn't necessarily have to be
I
winning teams. Like the Cubs for a while weren't a winning team, but they were still awful to be around. Or someone like the Cowboys, right?
Probably,
they're have been that great forever, and no one wants to be around Cowboys fans. So is it possible to have a large national, international fan base and not be a terrible fan base?
It's probably only because I don't have to interact with them that I don't dislike them, but it's a personality defect of mine. I'm sure they're all wonderful.
My answer to this has always been yes in the Green Bay Packers.
What?
Yeah, I have thought that exactly.
Why? No, we can't end on that. We should end on you guys saying something poignant and uplifting about how baseball is a metaphor for life, and I don't know, some cliche.
I guess, but they would stop showing up to playoff games.
Yeah. Jared, is what you're...
That's true.
Jared, is what you're saying...
Am I wrong?
Large groups of people am are intolerable?
Yes, you are the best. well,
except you, our loyal listeners.
But again, we don't have a large
group. We're probably statistically mostly Red Sox, Yankees, and Cubs fans. Yeah, that's true. Well, I think that's a good note to go out on forever.
No, that's definitely not going to happen. Dead.
Well, I have something semi-poignant. Part of it is that, you know, we are back here, and the thing that has compelled me to come back, either, you know, for today, for another season, we'll see how it goes, is, you know, that we have developed, and perhaps not developed, we have joined
a strong community. That's what I'm talking about.
And that has been really worthwhile. And thinking of that, you know, in my intro, I don't know if anyone, how many crossover listeners there are.
Like, same,
I have been, as I mentioned,
Baseball America podcast
since the very first episode, where I believe they spent most of the time talking about Project Runway.
Can't tell if joke or serious.
I was a big Project Runway fan in 2006 or whatever, so that worked for me. But I saw that today John Manuel announced that he'll be leaving the world of, like, you know, writing about baseball, and will be moving to scouting, which is great for him, sad for us. And, you know, as probably one of the people who most inspired me to want to agree to do something like this, it has kind of, you know, taught me that, you know, to appreciate that as it happens, and to be thankful that even if nothing ever lasts, that you kind of had the experience of enjoying it and being together, and to feel like you have been bonded. So, you know, whether this is it for us or not, you know, I am really grateful for that experience.
Ditto.
All right. You too? Or I think now is the point where you just need to have a Futurama quote. Yeah. Okay. All right, good. All right. Yeah, I think funny dog videos are actually a great way to end this. So, you know, one way or another, we'll be back. We'll be around. And feel free to reach out to us at scoresheet@baseballperspectives.com if you want to chat or if you have any ideas on, you know, next season. It has been a pleasure speaking to you, and we hope to do it again sometime soon. Until then, on behalf of Ben Murphy and Jared Weiss,
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lefkowitz, thanks again and have a great day.